Well, this morning we're going to start in a passage of Scripture here in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 2. This is the Apostle Paul, and if you really study the book of 1 Corinthians, a lot of what Paul is doing in the whole book of 1 Corinthians, he's answering questions that they have about marriage and meat offered to idols and just different things that as it relates to the worship in the church. And one segment that he hits in 1 Corinthians 12 and 13 and 14 has to do with the ministration, the orchestration, facilitation of spiritual gifts in the church. And he gives us a lot of good insight, a lot of good instruction, and we're going to see a little bit of that instruction right here. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2, it says, "For he," this is the Apostle Paul again, giving instructions to the church regarding the ministry of tongues and prophecy. He says, "He who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church." Now, in the broader context of this passage, there were people who were speaking in tongues in a public assembly, and it was distracting. It was causing confusion. And really, the end of this 14th chapter, he kind of summarizes it by saying, God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. So what he's doing is he's coming in behind the Corinthian church and is helping set some guidelines so that they can properly flow with the Holy Spirit in the different avenues and different giftings. And so what he had to do here is he had to make a distinction, you know, and he does throughout the chapter, and we'll look at some other things later, but there is a difference between a tongue that's interpreted for the public assembly for the profit of everybody versus a private tongue where somebody will just speak to themselves and to God. You know, in this case, they'll just edify themselves. You know, you're not speaking to men, you're just speaking directly to God for a personal edification. All right, later in this chapter, the Apostle Paul said, "I thank God I speak in tongues more than you all, yet in the church, I'd rather just speak a few words that people can understand than 10,000 words in tongues." So he was praying in tongues a lot outside the church. There was a private devotional form of tongue that was for personal edification. All right. So this chapter in 1 Corinthians 14 helps to kind of distinguish and gives guidelines for the church as it relates to tongues and make sure that that flow of tongues is done in a way that's really going to bless people and bless the church as a whole. But this morning, as we're looking at this particular passage of Scripture, I want to kind of focus on that verse 4. As you can see, I've kind of underlined an area there. You know, first of all, in verse 2, it says, when you speak in a tongue, you're not speaking to man, but you're speaking to God. You're addressing God. No one understands him. In the Spirit, you're speaking mysteries. And that verse 4 again, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. It doesn't mean that speaking in tongues is bad and selfish and prophecy is good and unselfish. It's just saying that, you know, in the church, you got to realize that tongues by itself is not going to be a blessing to the body of Christ unless there's an interpretation. Whereas when you prophesy, everybody understands in their own language and they can be blessed. That's actually what it says in verse 5. It goes on to say that very thing. And so this morning, as we look at this passage of Scripture again, I kind of want to look at that verse 4. It says, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. When we think about, you know, praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, there's a lot of, I know there's confusion a lot in this area and people have different views and aspects. I was raised Lutheran. I wasn't raised in the charismatic way or the charismatic movement. I was raised Lutheran, but I wasn't taught for it or against it, so I kind of came into it neutral, you know, just to kind of see, you know, what I think. But I remember that as I began to you know, just experience this and pray in the Spirit of God, you know, there really is what verse 4 talks about, an edification. That word edify means to build up, to strengthen, to charge. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. Even though it's not profiting the church on a personal level when you're praying, there is an edification that takes place. Okay, that's kind of more of the technical side. Now, let me say something here, because I think this is where a lot of times, you know, even people, you know, people who believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, who believe that tongues are for today, sometimes miss the most basic aspect of speaking in tongues. You know, God did not, if you speak in tongues today, let me say it this way, God did not baptize you in the Holy Spirit for the sole purpose of defending that tongues are for today. That would be a very shallow purpose for baptizing somebody with the Holy Spirit. Almost be negating. There's a time and a place to explain doctrinally why you believe what you believe about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and why you believe it's for today. And we've done that at different places in different contexts. But the point, believing that tongues are for today is really just, it's a doorway you walk through. We walk through that doorway into a rich, full, wonderful spiritual life where you have that edifying gift to enjoy. It's sad to me when I'll see charismatics kind of just linger at the doorway with a theological chip on their shoulder, never really going into the blessing of the edification that it's there for in the first place. Okay? Praise God for the edification that comes from that precious prayer language. And this morning, this is not a message on why I think tongues are for today. It's just not that at all. This is a message of going through the door and really exploring and experiencing and testifying of that wonderful edification that you experience and enjoy when you speak in that beautiful prayer language. For me, it was December 3rd, 1984. That date is etched in my heart and mind. By myself, I'm not in a charismatic church. I'm not surrounded with people. Nobody's laying hands on me. I know about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but I'm just kind of by myself having my regular devotion time with the Lord. And I'm just praying at my bedside. And you know what happened to me? I was just praying at my bedside there, and I just began to realize, wow, Ed, you go to a pretty big school. I mean, over my graduating class, I think, was 444 people, you know. It was a lot of people there, and I was just amazed how, you know, I knew the Lord. I knew the Lord. Now, I don't speak in tongues right now, okay? I just know God. I have a relationship with God. In fact, I was first approached with tongues saying that I didn't have the Holy Spirit and I wasn't really a Christian because I didn't speak in tongues. Well, they came way too late to tell me that. I knew the Lord for years, rich, full, powerful. Walk with the Lord in His Word. I knew the power of the Word of God in me, the reality of the Holy Spirit living in me. I knew that I was a temple of the Holy Spirit. Didn't have to speak in tongues to know that. I named the name of Christ. I was born again of the Spirit of God. I knew that. But I'll tell you what, I also was just praying, and it was just something I was just praying out ahead, and I was praying, you know, God, if that's really real and that's really something you want from me, I'm just kind of searching out in the Word. But I was just kind of like, I pursued it for probably about 6 months, and all of a sudden I was just kind of in a place just by myself in the bedroom, and I wasn't asking even for it. I was just right there by my bedside and just realizing that I'm in this school, and I know a few other kids that kind of really know God too, but it's like, Lord, this is amazing how you have just blessed me and guided me and really shown me your salvation. And I was so joyful. And I began to just count my blessings and just begin to thank God, you know, for how He's taken care of me here, how He's provided for me, how He's, you know, He has a plan for my life, and just the sweet fellowship. Isn't that the ultimate joy of really knowing God? The fellowship with God, knowing your sins are forgiven and just walking in that peace and having that and knowing that I had that. And so I'm just right there. Like I said, this is December 3rd, 1984. It's a Monday night. And I'm just thanking God. Just and just in that midst of counting my blessings, I just start to worship the Lord. I just start to begin to worship God. Just my own little chorus and, you know, just beginning to worship and thank God. And while I'm just, you know, beginning to worship, and I kind of go into, you know, hallelujah, hallelujah, praise God, praise God, praise God. And I don't know if it was the fourth or the fifth praise God, whatever it was, I really wasn't counting, but I'm just worshiping God, and I just sense like the presence of God in that room. In that room. And it was like, you know, somewhere in my praise gods began to become those syllables that I didn't understand with my natural mind, but it just began to flow out of my mouth. Just began to flow. And the cool thing was, man, it was just flowing right from my spirit. It was just like, in my mind, it was just like, my first impression was when I began to speak with tongues, it was like, this is speaking in tongues? This is just too easy to be speaking in tongues. I just had I'm used to kind of, you know, pressing in and da-da-da. But when you look at the people who received the baptism of the Holy Spirit in the New Testament, they didn't even have time to read their Bibles. You know, a lot of them just got it. I mean, there's no spiritual credential here. There is no earning of anything at all. It was just something I, in the presence of God, I just yielded to. It was like, wow, this is just amazing. And, for me, that just began this brand new life in the Spirit. And, that was 27, 28 years ago. And it wasn't an emotional hype that went away. Thank God it's a powerful prayer language that stuck with me, that I've been able to enjoy and draw strength from for the duration of this walk with God that I have. And so this morning, like I said, this is not a defense of why I think tongues is for today and all that kind of stuff and fussing over about the doorway right up now. We're going to go through the doorway this morning. And I was really kind of trying to figure out what to call this message. It's a little wordy, but I think you'll get the idea. Three really cool things I have personally experienced while speaking in tongues. All right, like I said, we're through the door. We're well through the door now. We're kind of out there. And now these are scriptural things. We will back everything up with the Word of God this morning. But, you know, I think it's so important, like I said, as believers to realize that this is about the edification. Man, I've been baptized, filled with the Holy Ghost for a purpose. It's an edifying purpose. And, you know, like I said, 27, 28 years of just kind of flowing in this, there, I've been able to take inventory of some amazing things that I've experienced by the power of God from this prayer life that I've had in God. And so that's where we're going to go this morning. Three really cool things I've personally experienced while speaking in tongues. Number one really cool thing is an awareness of my own human spirit. Now, an awareness of my own human spirit. I know that I'm a spirit being. Remember Jesus told Nicodemus, he said, Nicodemus, you got to be born again. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. And I'll tell you what, there is such an amazing awareness that you get of your own spiritual part of you that comes when you from speaking in tongues. Jesus put it this way as he was beginning to prophesy about what would happen. He said, on the last day of the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart, his belly, literally, will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Jesus talks here about a flow out of his heart, his belly. That word, the actual word there for belly. It's a koilia or hollow belly, abdomen, womb, even kind of that part of you right here in your midsection. Out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. And that's a cool thing that, again, I understood and realized. I mean, you understand the theology of some of this stuff, but I remember when I was just praying in my spirit from those syllables, it wasn't coming from my head. He didn't say, out of your head will flow. He said, out of your belly will flow. There's a flow force that's coming out. Now, this is interesting because it's talking about a dynamic of the Holy Spirit not being in you, but flowing out of you and flowing out from your belly. And that was kind of, again, the amazing thing, that when I began to pray from my spirit and I was beginning to verbalize things from my spirit without my mind, you know, I mean, the only praying I'd ever done is it's always from here to here. That's all I'd ever known. And so when I began to pray from my spirit, it was like, wow, there's a part of me that's bigger than just what's in my mind at the moment. There's a part of me that's really real, a spiritual aspect. And so to kind of put it this way, if you were to kind of understand what happens when a person prays in tongues, let's just kind of pretend we're in our medical lab or whatever, and just kind of in non-religious terms, ultimately what happens, you know, there's an interesting dynamic that goes on. We'll talk about that a little bit more a little bit later. But what I'm talking about is one of the cool things you experience is an awareness of your own human spirit. Now, let me say this. I didn't have this kind of unique awareness of my own human spirit for the first time when I spoke with tongues. I've also experienced this in the Word of God. And that's why when you get something from God, even though it might be new, it'll be familiar if it's of God. And you'll find that the same kind of dynamic action happens in the Word of God. The Bible says about the Word, and the Word here is Logos, the written Word. It says, for the Word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Word of God has the ability to divide your soul and your spirit. Now, your spirit there is your pneuma. Soul there is your psuche. It's your mind, will, and emotions. Spirit is pneuma. The Word has the ability to get in between your soul and your spirit. That's pretty sharp. It's really showing the sharpness of the Word. You could think of it this way. My psuche, my soul, represents my reasonings. But my pneuma, my spirit, represents my motives. Do you know, you can sometimes, you know, the Bible talks even in different forms of this in the Scripture about how you can cloak things. Now, if any of you guys are Star Trek fans, you'll know what cloaking is all about. I believe it is the Klingons that can cloak, okay? What does that mean? They can take their ships, even though they're right there, and make them look invisible. And you can't see them. It doesn't pick up on the radar. And yet, it's right there. Well, sometimes we can take our reasonings and cloak the motives of our heart with really wonderful, sweet-sounding reasons. Politics is great at this, okay? Your mind can cloak your spirit. It can make it can make those ugly-looking motives invisible. Yet it's right there. It has that cloaking ability. But the Word gets in between, and it knows the thoughts and the intents of your hearts. The Word uncloaks everything. It shows you everything. Not just what you're allowing people to see. No, the Word, that's what it's next verse goes on. Verse 13 says, all things are naked and open to Him. There's no cloaking in front of Him. You can cloak in front of another human being who isn't all-knowing, maybe, and cloak the true motives of some things. But God's Word just knows everything. And this is before I ever spoke in tongues. I found that when I would get in this Word, that discerning ability that's in the Word would get in me. That ability to discern. And there was something about being in the Word of God and meditating in the Word of God. It gave me the ability to be honest with myself. It gave me the ability not to just look to my reasons and feel sorry for myself, but the Word of God gave me the ability to look to the motives of my heart and begin to deal with myself on the heart level. Spending time in the Word does that. When you spend time in the Word, you get that uncanny ability to be honest with yourself about the motives of your own heart. And when you spend time away from the Word, you lose that ability. And a lot of times you end up cloaking yourself. And you can get into self-deception. But that's the power of the Word. It is living. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It has the ability to allow you to step outside of yourself and objectively look at the motives of your own heart. The Word can do that. Revelation will do that. It's an amazing thing. And that's what I was used to. But now, when I'm praying in the Spirit, it's like that same dynamic I'm experiencing again. Okay? I'm praying in the Spirit, but it's not my mind. It's not my reasoning. It's just coming right from my spirit. And all of a sudden, I'm like on the outside, watching myself pray. Now, I'm still, my will is engaged. It's not like I'm being taken over like by a demon spirit and I have no control. The Scriptures clearly says the spirit of the prophet, subject to the prophets. God doesn't force you. God requires you to yield to Him. Okay? I like to put it like this. The gifts of the Spirit, the things of the Spirit, are not things we wield. They're things we yield to. He's in control. But He works with men and women. And so I'm in that place where I'm just, you know, the cool thing about it is, you know, when I went from English, the glory, 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 to the syllables and the flow of the prayer language, I knew a few things for sure. This was a safe place. I was in the presence of God. I'm in the middle of worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ. And there was a yielding that took place. And in that yielding, like I said, this dynamic, you begin to realize that, wow, I'm praying, but I'm praying for my spirit. My mind is kind of on the outside looking in. My mind is not in control of this prayer. My mind isn't adding to the content. The Scripture puts it this way. 1 Corinthians 14:14. It says, for if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, my pneuma prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. Now, the Greek word there for understanding is actually nous, or intellect in mind. All right? If I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, my pneuma prays, but my soul, that nous, that compartment of my suke, is unfruitful. My intellect, my understanding, it's unfruitful. Amplified. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit, by the Holy Spirit within me, that's well put, prays, but my mind is unproductive. It bears no fruit. It helps nobody. And so, you know how you look at this scripture right here? The Word of God has the ability to separate, divide asunder, literally means to put apart your soul and your spirit. And when you begin to pray in the Spirit, you experience that dynamic action where you're praying from your spirit, but your understanding is unfruitful. It's like a separation there. And it's very amazing. And like I said, this is three cool things I've really experienced when praying in tongues. You realize that, wow, I have the ability to pray from my heart, from my spirit. You know, if your spirit and your mind were one and the same, this would be impossible. Your spirit and your mind are not one and the same. If your spirit and your mind were one and the same, then you would always be praying with your understanding. But that word spirit is pneuma. That word understanding is nous. There's more parts to you on the inside. There's the spirit part. There's the mental part. Aren't you glad that you're not totally defined by what's going through your mind at any given moment? That there's more to you. There's a process. Now, you've got a project. You've got a Romans 12:1-2 project to renew your mind, right? According to the Word of God. But you are a spirit being. This mind renewal, the mind stuff, it's a work in progress. But something that you experience personally, yourself, is when you begin to, as far as experiencing that separation, is when you begin to pray in the Spirit. Now, how is this important? Why is this a powerful vehicle of edifying yourself? And remember, we're bringing it back into the broader context. How can this cause me to edify myself? Well, in a very practical sense, before I had ever received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the only kind of praying I knew to do was with my understanding. It's the only kind of expression of prayer that I ever had. And I have found, and I still find today, that there are times when my mind will get in this loop. All right? I think, I feel. I'm just constantly querying. I think, I feel, and I got this situation. I don't know what to do. I think, I feel. And there's such pressure on my mind. And I put pressure on myself to have to, with my noose, intellectually reason my way out of this situation. And I've got to figure it out. I've got to bring intellectual closure to this. And I'm in a place where it is a high anxiety. And I'm so glad. And I've had to remind myself, as somebody who has been baptized in the Holy Spirit, who does speak in tongues, I've had to remind myself as I'm in my infinite loop of I think I feel, oh yeah, I could pray in tongues right now. Oh, praise God. All of a sudden, what happens? Now, when I pray in the Spirit, in an unknown tongue, my Spirit, by the Holy Spirit within me, prays. And I begin to pray from my belly. Right? I begin to pray from my belly. And all of a sudden, my verbal expression isn't hooked up to here. The answer isn't here. The answer is in here somewhere. It's in the Spirit of God that's on the inside of me. And the really cool thing about praying in the Holy Ghost is an awareness that you are a spirit being. There's more to you than what you know right now. And there's someone in who you are. There's someone in your spirit being. And you can pray in the Holy Spirit. And the quick thing that it does is it breaks the loop. You know, if you're a programmer, you're a computer programmer, somebody's getting loops and your computer hangs up. Or if you're not a computer programmer, your computer hangs up. You got to reboot the system. You know, get out of that loop or whatever it is that's causing it to freeze up. Praying in the Holy Spirit, praise God, is a great way to do it. Now, when the Scripture says, my understanding is unfruitful, my mind is productive, it doesn't mean that as Christians, as believers, that when we pray in the Spirit, that we kind of just empty our minds and kind of go through some, you know, cultic, just empty yourself of all and everything and yield to everything, la-da-da. No, not even close. When your mind is unfruitful or unproductive when you're praying in the Spirit, what that means is your mind isn't contributing to what you're saying. Your mind isn't, having anything to do with the context and the content of what you're saying. Your mind is listening, really, ultimately. While you're praying in the Spirit, you still do what the Scripture says to do with your mind. You set your mind on things above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. And I'll just say this, as a believer who does speak with tongues, there you don't always want to pray in the Spirit. The temptation is to stay in your head. It's to stay in your mind. Because it takes faith to begin to pray from the Spirit and you don't have understanding. Your mind will fight you. You know what it's like? It's like when you decide to go from the infinite loop of anxiety to just by faith praying in your spirit, it's like handing the microphone from your mind down to your spirit. Now you're going to talk. You're going to amplify, praise God, what the Holy Ghost is saying in me. Because I don't got it up here. I don't know. I've been around the block a lot of times, and I just don't have understanding right now. And so there is like a, you are giving control, you're giving voice to the Holy Spirit through your spirit. And what it does, it just gets you realize, man, I don't understand. Well, praise God. I pray in the Spirit. And we just begin to pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Holy Spirit. And there's an expression of your spirit, an expression of your heart that takes place when you begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. And there's a strengthening. There's a release. You know, and your mind will fight you. No, come on, step up. Come on, come back up here. You know, let's worry some more. And then you just got to say, well, I do have some things for you to think about. Things that are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report. Things that are full of virtue and praiseworthiness. You can think about those things if you want to. Yes, in fact, you will think about while you pray from your spirit. You know what happens? You begin to get revelation, understanding. I love the 23rd Psalm, the way God speaks to us. Before we ever get led into paths of righteousness for His name's sake, first things first, I need you to lay down in some green pastures here. I'm going to make you lie down in some green pastures. I'm going to lead you beside the still waters. I'm going to restore your soul. Then I'm going to lead you into paths of righteousness for my name's sake. And you see that with tongues a lot of times too. I got to figure it out. My noose is everything. Well, you've got more to you than just your noose. You got a pneuma. And you got the Holy Ghost in your pneuma. And there is a praying from your spirit that will quiet your mind. It's very humbling when your mind is no longer the main driver. when the microphone comes back down to your spirit. Now, praise God for praying in understanding. He goes on to say, what's the conclusion? I'm going to pray both ways. I'm going to pray in the spirit. I'm going to pray with my understanding. Thank God for understanding. God gives us understanding. God gives us direction, wisdom. But there are times when our understanding isn't enough. And it's so good to be able to switch over and pray from my spirit, even though my head doesn't understand it, even though my head doesn't get it, and begin to set my mind on things above and listen on the inside. Listen to what the Spirit of God would prompt me, tell me, show me. But there is, number one, an awareness of the fact that I am a spiritual being. And probably another, I'll just kind of close it with this. I remember hearing a great little story. This is a story about a preacher. He said he had, he got in a situation where he just got taken advantage of. Somebody brought him in for a conference or whatever and really just brought him in to raise up a big offering to get something paid off and really didn't take care of him, properly like he should, his expenses and basic things that he just needed to get there and whatnot. And he was mad and frustrated and he had left they'd stayed over at the minister's house, and he was just all mad and frustrated, left the house early. And he walked out. He said he walked out in the driveway and saw the newspaper and said, well, bless God, I earned that. Picked it up and he said, no, that's baby. That's just dumb. Why would anybody do that? He was in strife. He was mad. He had thoughts going in his head. And he said the thing that he realized, here was the thing that really got through, is that as they were driving away, he said his wife began to pray in the Spirit. He said, oh, and that just made me really mad, seeing his wife praying in the Spirit. But then he realized, just as she was praying in the Spirit, he just said that voice. He said that small voice. He said the reason it's so small is because you're making so much noise. A lot of times, But that small voice. He said you better get a hold of this. You better get a hold of this. And he said thank God, because a lot of times he's in the middle of strife. He said I'm so glad I could just switch over and begin to pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. The Lord told it to me once. You don't have to bring closure to Satan's confusion before you can praise me. He said it that way to me once. But it's the same true when it comes to speaking in tongues. You don't have to bring closure to the confusion in your understanding before you can pray in the Spirit. You can just begin to pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Because your mind is no longer the main driver. And it humbles your mind. It brings your mind in subjection to your spirit. And it strengthens you. And it's like, okay, praise God. It's a way to help quiet your mind, get it focused on God, get it focused on spiritual things. So that's a very, very important thing. Very important thing to understand, praise God, is that the power of praying in the Spirit, to get that spiritual focus back. And I just want to say this too. And if you're ever worried or wondered, because sometimes, because I, like I said, I was raised neutral. I was Lutheran. I really didn't have a leading opinion going into the thing one way or the other. But I remember kind of hearing the arguments against that it's of the devil or the flesh or different things like that. Well, I can say after 27, 28 years of walking with the Lord and having yielded to the flesh, the world, and the devil over the last 27, 28 years at times, I have never, ever, in the context of sinning, like, oh, I ate that, or I looked at that, or that. I may as well pray in tongues, too. I've done the whole thing. There's never any connection or temptation with tongues. No, when you sin and you miss it, you yield to the flesh, the world, and the devil, and you're right in the middle of it, and all of a sudden you see your Bible, but you go, oh. That's the same thing you'd have with speaking in tongues at the time. It's a spiritual thing. It's a good thing. And the times that I do pray in tongues are the times that my focus is on God, that I'm going after God. But what does it do? Praying in the Spirit has the ability to kind of help you focus, get your focus back on your spirit, because sometimes your mind is going to be doing crazy things. So it gives you an awareness of that spirit man. Not only that, but it gives you an ability to pray. It gives me an ability to pray beyond my understanding. We've kind of touched on this a little bit, but boy, this can come in handy sometimes. Because we know stuff, we know some stuff, but it's pretty amazing when you can yield to the power of the Spirit of God and be able to pray beyond what you just naturally mentally know, or the accumulation of your spiritual growth over whatever X number of years might be. When God can begin to pray through your stuff. And again, we refer to this verse in our opening passage, but he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. Again, this is a powerful thing. You know, you begin to pray in the Spirit. When you're praying in the Spirit, you don't dictate to the Spirit what the Spirit is supposed to pray about. That's unscriptural. You don't direct the Holy Spirit as far as what He is supposed to pray about. It's not like, I think, I feel, therefore, Holy Ghost, you're going to pray about this mystery. You don't dictate or direct that. You can get revelation about what the Spirit of God is doing. And it can be very apparent at times, the context of what the Holy Spirit is praying about, apparent to your own spirit and understanding, depending sometimes on the context of different things. But I remember in this situation, you know, for me, when I really began to experience this was in 1991, I believe it was. It was the Gulf War. And it was a Wednesday night. And I just remember, like, the news had come out over the broadcast, and yet we had church that night, and just kind of watching the TV and running over to church. And, of course, that was the big news, the Gulf War. The Gulf War had started, and, you know, to pray for our country. And I remember our pastor, Pastor Hagen, had led us into a prayer, kind of more of a corporate prayer and praying for the nation. And then he said, okay, now you need to go off and just pray on your own. And that whole Wednesday night service was just a big prayer session. And I just remember there was a lot of people, they were praying, you know, as God was leading them to. And, you know, people have different prayer postures. They might kneel at the chair, they might walk around, whatever it is. But it was an amazing thing. Just the place was buzzing. And this is, you know, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people praying. And I just remembered myself, just as I was just praying, I just began to pray in the Spirit, just pray in the Spirit. And he might have even exhorted, I think at one time, said, if you can pray in the Spirit, begin to pray in the Spirit. That was kind of an organized, orderly praying in the Spirit. And I was praying in the Spirit, praying in the Spirit, because a lot of times you come across this stuff, and man, there's so much you could pray about from A to Z. All right? And I remember I prayed everything I knew to pray. Prayed for my generals. I prayed, you know, Lord, give our president favor, and, you know, all the kind of the basic stuff. But I just remembered as I began to pray in the Spirit and pray in the Spirit and pray in the Spirit, it was like it's really a cool deal, because you're praying in the Spirit, and what you can be frustrated because your mind doesn't, it's limited, but you can pray in your Spirit and experience a satisfaction, okay? Because you're praying beyond your ability. And so I remember just praying in the Spirit, praying in the Spirit. All of a sudden, I began to pray in English. Very targeted, specific, militaristic type prayers. And I knew that really what was happening was I was interpreting what I was saying in the Spirit. You know, there's a tongues and interpretation of tongues. This is a very, you know, this self-edification can be a very powerful form of intercession, where you can begin to pray on purpose in English for something, yield yourself to the Spirit of God. Now, you know, what you're praying in the Spirit, you might get it, you might not. One of the blessings that we have the ability to do, 1 Corinthians 14:12 tells us, even so, since you're zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel. Therefore, let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. You can pray that you may interpret. Or you may not even pray that you may interpret. You might just get the interpretation. Sometimes you'll flow in both aspects. There's not a hard-clad rules for this. But there is a flow, an ability to pray beyond your understanding. You know, just even sometimes driving by, you might even see a car accident on the road and you go, oh, Lord, just give mercy and grace and just pray for healing and restoration and just kind of pray what you know to pray. But then to be able to pray in the Spirit, pray beyond your own understanding. And just give the Holy Spirit something to work with. And like I said, I'm not driving the content of my prayer. I'm not dictating to the Holy Ghost what he has to pray. But I can begin to pray in my Spirit. And there is a certain satisfaction of heart that you get when you know you're able to pray deep from within you. Pray deep within your own spirit. But as we're talking about tongues and interpretation of tongues, we got to realize that it gives you the ability to pray beyond your understanding. You may be looking at directional future things and you don't know what to do next. You could do A, B, or C. All right? And if you start getting into the I think, I feel loop, it's a great thing to do. Begin to pray in the Spirit. I can't tell you the number of times where I've prayed about something in English, switched over into an unknown tongue, and then just begin to get revelation and wisdom on how to handle that thing. There is such a working together. It's like a secret weapon that you have. The devil doesn't know what you're saying either. You're just praying it out in the Spirit of God. And it's a cool thing. Again, three really cool things. Cool thing number two. You can pray beyond your natural understanding. And again, this is after 27, 28 years of just walking it out. Beginning to get revelation, insight of things that, oh, wow, praise God. I'm so glad my intellect, my mind doesn't have the full responsibility to figure everything out. I thank God for my understanding and the expression of praying in my understanding. But I just thank God that there's a spiritual part of me that can take that load, can take that prayer burden, begin to pray out from my spirit, pray out from my innermost being, and that ability to pray beyond your natural understanding. And again, Romans 8, verse 26 puts it this way. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helps our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And this is such a beautiful, powerful passage of Scripture. Again, it just reiterates that we have a weakness. We don't know what to pray for as we ought. You just get in situations where I kind of see general, but I need wisdom, I need grace, I need direction. And God will give you that wisdom, that grace, that direction. And you know what He'll do sometimes too, just while you're praying in the Spirit? He'll just give you boldness to do what you know you're supposed to do. There will be a boldness and a strength that'll just rise up on the inside of you. I remember kind of going back to that night, I was by my bed and I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and just thinking, man, this is just so easy. It's a flow. You know, it's nothing that I'm, you know, it's nothing according to my calculations. It's a flow from my spirit. And I just began to pray in the Spirit and I didn't realize this, but I was praying in the Spirit, you know, till probably 4 a.m. I just lost track of time. And there was such an amazing, you know, and what was happening is I just began to get really, somebody put it this way once, you're most familiar with the realm you spend the most time in. There's a spiritual realm, there's a natural realm. You know, we know the Bible says, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. But praying in the Spirit is a great way to spend time in the spirit realm. And so, you know, I didn't understand all the theology of this at the time. I was just praying the Spirit because I was just cool, first time I've ever done it. It's pretty amazing. And so I'm just doing it. I mean, I'd read my Bible and just start reading in English, and all of a sudden I just kind of yield and just begin to pray in the Spirit and just smile and just, oh, praise God. And, you know, and I could, there's nobody in my family believed in it, so I just, it's a very quiet little celebration in my little room in there. And, but I was just, it was like, wow, this is really amazing. And I realized the next day, I'm walking down the hall saying, Jesus loves me, this I know. And it's just like, it was a boldness. I couldn't even explain it. It's like, I didn't care. You're kind of a goofy. Oh, it was a strength. And I'm not saying I was doing it in a real, I was just kind of, you know, to myself, but I obviously did it loud enough once because it was a wrestling practice that night. And, you know, I just said, the guy in the locker next to me says, are you singing Jesus Loves Me? I go, yeah, I am. I'm singing Jesus Loves Me. I do. I know that He loves me. And I said, oh, cool. That's all right. All right. Yeah. But it's like, you know, you get out of, I don't know what it is, you know, like being drunk. You know, they accused those guys in the day of Pentecost of being drunk, right? Obviously, they had no theology of what was going on. They just observed from the natural. They were acting in a certain way that seemed to cause them to lose their inhibitions that connected it with drunkenness. Now, again, you don't lose control of who you are, your spirit, or anything like that, but there's a boldness that comes. Jesus said you'll receive power to be witnesses. And they prayed in the Spirit. Remember, before Peter preached that sermon and got those 3,000 saved, he was praying in the Spirit for a while. He's getting built up. He had power flowing from his word. Same guy that had run away from a little handmaiden afraid that she connected him with Jesus was now speaking with a boldness and an authority. And there's just something about that praying in the Holy Spirit. And there's a pressing in. I remember too when we were, we hit the streets of Hennepin. Actually, my daughter Lindsay went to Minneapolis to do some missions work yesterday with the First Baptist Church. And when we were in there, we were in Eden Prairie for a stint of about 6-7 years or so. And one of the things that I did with a friend was go to the streets of Hennepin Avenue to just street witness. And that's kind of the darkest place of the Minneapolis area. And of course, we went with a larger group. We weren't just by ourselves. We went with a larger group and people that were really, you know, had been through this and prayed. And one of the things they did, which was kind of really strange to me at first, was they would spend an hour praying in the Spirit before they hit the streets. I thought, man, an hour? I don't know if I could pray in the Spirit for a whole hour. You know, it's like, I mean, I like praying in the Spirit and I get edified, you know, a little wisdom, a little extra, a little grace. But I just remember praying in the Spirit, praying. Now, of course, that night I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I prayed for hours and hours, and it was like, you know, flew. But now to, on purpose, just pray in the Spirit, I just remember praying and hearing the sound of just them praying. And we were obviously interceding to hit the streets here. But I just remember praying and praying and realizing that I could go and I could hang with them. I could just begin to press into things in the Spirit and pray in the Spirit and pray in the Spirit and pray in the Spirit. And then we got on the bus and we're praying in the Spirit and praying in the Spirit. And then you get off the bus. And praying in the Spirit is fine. There may be some quiet praying in the Spirit, but it's like, that same Jesus loves me, this I know, Spirit I had the next day in school. It's like that boldness that you have when you begin to go and be able to hit the streets and begin to tell people about the Lord. And just amazing stories, you know, in that. But I just remember to on purpose build yourselves up in your most holy faith. That praying in the Holy Ghost. That praying in the Spirit of God. And so, yeah, it's just amazing when you really begin to see that you have that ability to pray out ahead of where you're even going. And it just kind of gives you the strength and the grace to go there, to get there. You know, if you get a hospital report, a lot of times you'll get a report medically, and there's just, you don't know a lot, you just know some high-level stuff. Pray about what you do know and understanding. When I'm saying about praying in the Spirit, I'm not saying exempting or excluding your understanding. Thank God, we need to pray, really, according to what we know, and then when we've prayed, done our due diligence in what we know to pray, praying according to His will, then we can begin to switch over and begin to pray in the Spirit. And you know, and you know, just then listen as the God would lead you from there. So, an ability to pray beyond your understanding, and then finally, an ability to fully express my heart to God. And this is one of those things that I guess you know, is one of those things that I still so much enjoy today and appreciate today. You know, we've actually made reference to the scripture, kind of following on down. Pray with the Spirit. You know, My spirit prays, my understanding is unfruitful. But goes on to say in verse 15, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 15, what's the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding. Okay? Otherwise, if you bless with the Spirit, how will he? This is talking about the public place of worship. How will he who occupies the place of the uninformed, in other words, they don't understand what the spiritual stuff's about, say amen at your giving of thanks, since he doesn't understand what you say? For indeed, you give thanks well, but the other is not edified. Again, he's bringing clarity to a situation here, and he's saying, you got to keep things in their proper order. He said, you're giving thanks well, but the other isn't edified. Well, we can get a glimpse in here, too, of one of the amazing blessings and purposes of praying in the Spirit. It allows you to give thanks well. Have you ever just been there, even in a praise and worship service? I mean, I love you, Jesus, I love you. And that's kind of how I got baptized in the Holy Spirit in the first place. It was like, hallelujah, 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 glory, glory, glory. It was like my ability to satisfy my desire to worship in English got limited, and I began to express it from the heart. And that is really, again, number three really cool thing that I've discovered when I'm praying in the Spirit is the ability to say, thank you, I love you, I bless you, I worship you. From deep down on the inside, there's a new dimension of giving thanks from my spirit being. Okay? It doesn't mean that I appreciated him more after I began to speak with tongues. It just means I got more of an expression to say it. That's all. But it's really satisfying when you're able to express it. When you're able to just switch over into your spiritual prayer language and you're happy and you love him. And you know in your spirit you're communicating love and thanksgiving to him. It's an ability to fully express your heart in thanksgiving. Not only that, but here's another powerful aspect as far as expressing your heart. Jesus had an amazing prophecy for the last days, which I think we're beginning to experience. He said, many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. That's really sad, because this is talking about people's eternal destinies. many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. As lawlessness continues to get access and foothold and influence in the country, you will see the love of many grow cold. There will be a jadedness about spiritual things, about love, about trust, about God. That's sweet. I mean, stuff that would have just been kind of mainstream 20 years ago, huh? You almost got to fight for it. Fight to keep a sweet spiritual. Spiritual things won't be in vogue. They won't be popular. The love of many will wax cold. See, to be carnally minded is death. And when a nation, legislation, and things go that way of carnal mindedness and death, it affects the atmosphere of wherever you're at. You know, sins are reproached to any people. Righteousness exalts a nation. But what will happen in the air, and there was we had a prophetic word back last month just about kind of a moving in these last days of an oppressiveness of the enemy that's trying to push down. And Jesus prophesied, yeah, when that lawlessness abounds, it's not just, oh, gee, too bad we're doing this and this. It'll affect the spiritual climate. It'll cause people to get critical. The love will get impacted. Well, thank God. You know, and this is, again, this is not all in all, but one of the ways that we can begin to protect our own spirit, our own heart, praying in the Holy Ghost, way you can kind of push back in that spiritual climate. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Like I said, when you begin to pray in the Spirit, you get spiritually aware of your own human spirit. And there is something about praying in the Spirit. The love of God has been shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. And when you pray in the Holy Ghost, it stirs in you a love. It stirs in you an awareness of spiritual things. While people can just look at you and just be, oh, it's just your spiritual, oh, you believe the Bible? It's the Word of God? I got 15 contradictions. I could just, come on, please, really, And you know, if you're spiritually weak, that coldness can get on you. But when you begin to pray in the Spirit, and spiritual things are real, and you know God, you know His Word, you know the flow of the Holy Spirit, you know the strength of the Holy Spirit, the tenderness of the Holy Spirit, and you know, you're not reading about it, you're living it. Praying in the Holy Ghost has a powerful way to build yourself up on your most holy faith. It can help keep you spiritually aware. It's an amazing thing how after I've prayed in the Spirit, prayed in the Spirit, when there's a temptation of the flesh, it's a lot harder for the flesh to get me when my spirit is strong. It is. It's not that I don't get it. It's not that I don't understand the temptation or the seduction or whatever it is. It's just like, I'm more aware of my spirit now. It's like, oh, yeah, I know where that goes. I know where that leads. And no, I'm going to stay with my spirit. There's a building yourself up, a strengthening of your spirit. Put it this way. You know, the Scripture tells us in Galatians 5:16, if you walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. It's a really simplified version of consecration, isn't it? Instead of trying to abstain from 20 things, I'm just going to proactively walk in the Spirit. And by the Spirit, put to death the deeds of the body. Getting a Spirit-focused, Spirit-centric life where I'm setting my mind on things above, where to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Well, praying in the Spirit is just another powerful way of walking in the Spirit. It's another powerful avenue and expression of walking in the Spirit. And there's something about it that there's a strengthening of spirit that happens. And it expresses, praise God, it's an expression of strength. But anyway, I'm going to go on here, building yourselves up for Romans 14:17. For the kingdom of God is not in eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Again, I experienced the joy in the Holy Spirit before I ever spoke with tongues, okay? I know what it's like to have that joy unspeakable and full of glory. Like I was praying in my bed when I had it. I was just so happy, so thrilled. I knew I was a child of God. The Spirit bears witness with my spirit. I'm a child of God. You don't have to pray in tongues for that to happen. You have that and it's an amazing joy. But I'll say this, and again, this is third really cool thing that I personally experienced while speaking in tongues, is that there's something about praying in tongues, and I've noticed it on your faces too, is that when you begin to pray in the Spirit, there's a joy that bubbles up on the inside of you. A smile that'll come across your face. You know, sometimes you read the, You know, of James 1, count it all joy when you're going to different trials. And how can you do that? I don't know, but I'll tell you what. One way to do that is you just begin to pray in the Holy Spirit. And the joy of the Holy Ghost, when you begin to pray in the Holy Ghost, you begin to experience that joy. And that joy becomes a strength. How are you going to get out of this one? I'm not quite sure. Praise God. I'll acknowledge Him in all my ways. He'll direct my paths. I know that. But in the meantime, there's a peace that passes my understanding. In the meantime, I'm going to pray in the Holy Spirit. And there's a joy of the Lord that bubbles up when you begin to pray in the Holy Spirit. It's a joy of the Lord. It's a knowing on the inside. I love the psalmist says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil because of one thing." I'll fear no evil because you're with me. And your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And there's just something about that. You can be going through that trial and you just begin to pray in the Spirit. Just switch over, give the microphone to your pneuma, your spirit man. And all of a sudden, you just know one thing is the Holy Ghost is giving utterance. I don't know exactly how it's going to work, but I know you're with me. Praise God. And what does it do? It edifies myself. I'm edified by that. Praise God. What are we talking about? We're talking about different ways the Spirit of God edifies you, strengthens you. And so, praise God. Finally, you know, I just love this. This aspect of, you know, fully expressing your heart. You can fully express it. Let's see. Fully express your heart. In thanksgiving, absolutely. You can fully express your heart in the joy of the Lord, the strength, strengthening your spirit. But there's also another aspect of just fully expressing your heart. And that's what I'll just say, fellowship and intimacy. 1 Corinthians 14, 27 puts it this way. It says, if anyone speaks in a tongue, let there be two or at the most three, each in turn, and let each one interpret. But if there's no interpreter, let him keep silent in the church and let him speak to himself and to God. This is the broader context of tongues he's talking about when he says let him speak to himself and to God. He's talking about a person personally praying to him and God, that personal edification. Again, I think we alluded to this before, but this is the Apostle Paul said, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all, yet in the church I'd rather speak five words of my understanding. Well, obviously, he was speaking in tongues outside the church a lot. Paul was getting that personal edification a lot. Think about what he went through. The power of this Holy Spirit, that edification that he experienced was huge. And what I just want to draw attention to right here is just the fact that there is a precious intimacy that takes place when you begin to pray in your spirit before God. It's just the fellowship. It's just the fellowship of the Spirit of God. There's a resting that takes place, a pressure that goes off your mind. Again, it's not unfruitful, not a cultic emptying, but you're still setting your mind on God, things. You're still thinking Scripture, thinking the Word, seeing Jesus, seeing the throne of grace, but there's no pressure on your mind. Now you're able to receive. Your mind is in a receiving mode from the Spirit of God. You know, we say that in all our ways we acknowledge Him and He'll direct our paths. If we're to receive that direction, we need to be in a receiving mode to hear. We've got to have ears to hear. And that's what praying in the Spirit does. It will get your spirit charged up while you're in a mode and a position also to kind of help you hear. Again, it's not the only way you hear, but it's just one way to help enhance, to edify yourself, to help you to hear. I'm just going to close with this final little story. And it's a story about... It's a story about a guy, a preacher, minister, theologian, Pastor Jack Hayford. He was asked to speak in a conference of a bunch of people who just didn't believe in speaking in tongues. And he was really surprised, you know, that he got this phone call. And so I'm just going to pick up here. I fumbled for words, hoping not to betray the extent of my amazement. Not only did I feel humbled by the generosity of the approach being made by so widely respected leader, but I was heartwarmed by the prospect of the possibility he was opening to me. I had decades behind me of having sought to walk with a simple openness to the workings of God's Holy Spirit, always being careful to join those to a steadfast obedience to the truths of God's Word. But it had always been a sore point with me that the experience I had shared with others of speaking with tongues was so frequently distorted as being the domain of either the brainless or emotionally overwrought. Speakers in tongues were often cast as a band of babblers, indifferent to, if not ignorant of, solid faith in God's Word and a sound-minded walk with God's Son. when several months later, I was standing at the center of a platform in a giant arena, having been introduced to multiplied thousands as a man who was here to speak on the subject of tongues. I announced my topic, the beauty of spiritual language. The reason for selecting that phrase to describe my remarks was not so much an effort at persuasion as an attempt to recast the image many seem to have of tongues. A stereotype persists, one which suggests that the practice of speaking in tongues is broken from the mold of a backwoodsy tent meeting. You've seen it on television, documentaries, a bevy of snake handlers mouthing gibberish while stringing reptiles over their shoulders like necklaces. But that certainly is an image far removed from the beauty and order which I had discovered during times of private communion in the presence of a loving God. Ah, praise God. It's so real, it's so true, and it is a sweet, intimate fellowship. It's an expression of your heart. I so know where he's coming from there. Three really cool things that I personally experienced while speaking in tongues. Number one, an awareness of my own human spirit. I can break the, I think, I feel, and praise God, out of my belly can begin to flow. Even though I don't understand the mysteries that are being said, the microphone gets changed to that inward man, and there's a refocusing of the spirit. Now my mind takes more of a subservient role while it's thinking on things that are true, honest, and just, and in more of a listening mode, while the Spirit of God can begin to communicate, give me wisdom and revelation, and awareness that I am a spirit being, that my feelings and thoughts don't have to dictate me and wig-wag me around, but praise God I can get spirit-focused. Second, the ability to pray beyond my understanding. The ability to go outside what I know and know that I am praying outside my understanding. Know that I am speaking unto God mysteries. Things are being done. Things are being taken care of. I mean, the ability to intercede halfway across the world when you just feel prompted to pray in the Spirit. I mean, it's got to drive the devil crazy when you just begin to flow in that and all of a sudden you're speaking perfect mysteries of God. See, the Bible says, now we see through a glass darkly. But then we're going to know. We're going to get some understandings of some of those mysteries, aren't we? Knowledge will vanish away. That means those mysteries will be clear to us at some point and someday. Praise God. And then finally, the ability to fully express my heart to God. To say thank you in English with my understanding and to say thank you from my spirit man. To begin to get filled with His joy, with His strength, with His love, that form of walking in the Spirit to strengthen my spirit to live for God. And then, of course, just the simple fellowship and intimacy of being able to have those quiet times. You edify yourself. There's so many times I'm just praying in the Spirit, and it's not for anything. It's not for a revelation. It's just praying in the Spirit and praying in the Spirit. It's just there's a building yourself up. The joy, the love, all those different things happen. It's a glorious, glorious thing. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. We thank you this morning, Lord, not just for the doorway of the fact that you've provided it today, but we thank you, Lord, for what we're able to walk into in this precious gift, Lord. The precious fellowship of the Holy Spirit. That ability to step outside our own thinking and understanding, that divine spiritual perspective, Lord, and to begin to build ourselves up on our most holy faith. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Go ahead and make this your declaration of faith if your heart can agree. Say, Heavenly Father, I thank you today for the precious Holy Spirit. I'm born again. Your Spirit lives in me. Has always lived in me. And I thank you, Father, for the precious gift of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, where that Spirit in me can flow out of my belly, can edify myself. Lord Jesus, I thank you for it. Continue to lead me. Continue to guide me into those green pastures of a rich Spirit-filled life. Wherever I am now, in my relationship with the Holy Ghost, I want to go to the next level. From glory to glory. Intimacy to intimacy. Strength to strength. I thank You, Lord. I'm not comfortless. You never leave me. You never forsake me. I love You, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God.